Hello, and welcome to the Graveyard Shift with Grace. How are you all? Good, I hope. Today, we're going to be talking about the Alton Penitentiary. From being the first prison in Illinois to housing Civil War prisoners, the complex has a long, sordid past. And most don't even realize that they walk past it or even on it every single day. Now, we all know or should know that during the Civil War and before, Missouri and Illinois didn't always get along, and typically were on opposite sides of the battlefields. Alton would eventually become a military post due to its access to the Mississippi River and its vicinity to St. Louis. But before that was the building of a town and its prison. The Alton Penitentiary's construction was completed in 1833. The conditions were bad from the beginning, and the prison would eventually become well known for its rats, vermin, and disease. There's always a need for clean clothes that they would never get, fresh water, edible food, and medical care. According to records, most men who would end up serving time here would eventually die a couple months after being released due to the havoc the prison served on their health and immune system. Dorothea Dix, a social reformer and leader in the movement to improve conditions for prisoners, the insane, and the mentally ill, by the 1850s, was urging the government to stop using the prison. Her report spread controversy like wildfire, and eventually legislation would move the prison towards Joliet. The construction would be completed in 1859, and the prisoners would soon be moved afterwards. By 1860, the Alton Penitentiary would be completely abandoned. But by 1862, there was the realization that the war would not be coming to a quick end, and the need for more space for Confederate prisoners continued to grow. The state granted permission to the Union to use the penitentiary once again, but as a military prison. The prison would be overcrowded within 3 days of arrival of prisoners. The maximum capacity of the institution was estimated at 800. But throughout most of the war, it held between 1,000 and 1,500 prisoners, and often more. Stories say it was sometimes as many as 5,000. Most of the prisoners stayed in their cells. They had limited access to the yard where the drinking water and latrine could be found. The prison had no actual water supply. A well was located on the grounds, but as soon as the prisoners of war were transferred there, they quickly realized it was contaminated. The next best thing they could do would be hauling huge water kegs up from the river using a 6-mule wagon. The drinking water was stored in a trench a short distance away from a similar container that was used as a latrine. And they would use wood-burning stoves to supply heat to the prison, which wouldn't do very well. The war continued, and new prisoners arrived in Alton on a regular basis. Living conditions continued to get worse. Most men were badly clothed. Food was often withheld as punishment or not edible when it was given. Bathing areas were not available, and gnats, lice, rats, and other vermin were common. The then current winning diseases were malaria, pneumonia, dysentery, scurvy, and anemia. These five diseases killed more men than a gunshot would have at the time. Then, in 1863, several isolated cases of smallpox broke out amongst the prisoners. The disease began to spread quickly and turned into an epidemic. At the time of outbreak, the prisoner population numbered almost 2,000 in quarters that were designed for about a quarter of that amount. The men slept 3 in a bed, 8 standing up, and used a common latrine. Nothing was clean in the prison, and the men were often unshaved and filthy. Their sleeping mattresses were never changed or washed, and the prison yard was filled with pools of stagnant water and urine. Smallpox swept through the penitentiary and soon both the prisoners and prison guards were infected. Before it was over, it would spread into the city of Alton itself, killing residents. In the early days of the epidemic, Mayor Edward T. Drummond refused to have prisoners treated away from the prison. There were no hospitals in the city of Alton at that time, and the patients were quartered in hallways and storage rooms and stables, as the prison hospital was disturbingly inadequate and only had 5 beds. Before the outbreak, there would have been an average of 6 deaths a week. This would soon spike to 5 a day at least. There was no stopping the disease once it started to spread. The men's immune system was already weakened by poor diets and filthy living conditions. There was no hope in withstanding the disease. The sick and dying men were overflowing from the converted hospitals and sick rooms. It became a dire situation of what to do with all of the dead bodies. The prison, quote unquote, dead house was simply a shed in the yard where bodies were kept until they could be buried, but this also was soon overflowing. People of Alton began to panic and demand that the prison do something with the dead bodies that were overflowing in the prison outside of the city limits. The sick were subsequently taken to an island in the Mississippi called Sunflower Island. On one end of the island is a small, dilapidated summer cottage. This would become the hospital pest house. Prisoners, guards, and doctors feared going to the island, afraid they'd never return to the side of the river. Prisoners and guards transported rat bodies to the island where they would be buried in trenches. The smallpox epidemic would continue to ravage the prison throughout the winter of 1863 into the following spring. The Daughters of Charity, a group of St. Louis nuns, would arrive in the spring of 1864. They demanded better medical supplies, an actual hospital building, and permission to conduct burial services for the men. A new hospital was authorized for the grounds, and construction was completed that autumn. By the following summer, no new cases of smallpox were reported, and the pest house on Sunflower Island was closed down. Those who were buried there still remain nameless today, and their graves have vanished due to the river flooding. Some believe that Alton residents shunned the island due to the chance that smallpox might linger there. Others believe that it's for a different reason entirely. They say the ghosts of the men who were buried there still linger on the island to this day. The penitentiary was abandoned after the war. Most of the walls around the prison yard were torn down between 1870 and 1875. Most of the stone was hauled off for road construction projects. The area where the prison yard was located has now been turned into a local park. Some of the walls remained standing for years, but by the 1940s, only scattered ruins remained. The last section was finally removed in 1973 and reconstructed nearby as a monument to the past. The area where the prison building was located is now a public parking lot. Today, only the small portion of the wall remains on the site of the penitentiary, where visitors can find historical information and displays about the prison and Civil War. As the years have passed, the old Alton Penitentiary has become the source of multiple legends around the area. For years, the surrounding area of the historic site have been the scene of ghostly sightings, some dating farther back than recent times. After the war would come to an end, the old prison building would remain on the back of the lot, decay and ruin setting in. The temptation of the old prison proved too much for most visitors to resist, and many of them explored the empty corridors, abandoned cells, and deserted staircases. These visitors soon learned, however, that the former prison was not as empty as it seemed to be. Tales began to filter out of the prison about ghostly voices, strange sounds, screams, cries, eerie weeping and moaning that came from the place where no living person could be found. The disturbing tales continued for decades, even up until the time the remainder of the prison was finally demolished. In addition to the sounds, people also spoke of seeing the spectral images of former prisoners still wandering about the property. These figures had the chilling habit of vanishing without a trace when approached or confronted. They would be there one moment, gone the next. Turning the old prison yard into a parking lot seemed to have little effect on them. Even in recent years, passersby have claimed to see the apparitions of men and soldiers still lingering on these grounds. They are usually described as being very ragged, and they will appear and vanish without warning. Are these strange visions truly the lost soul of soldiers who suffered and died here in the past? Or are they merely a small piece of time that has been left behind on the atmosphere of this place? We may never know, but the ghosts serve as a record of the horror and tragedy that occurred here during some of America's darkest days. Today, we talked about the Alton Penitentiary and its connection to Sunflower Island. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening, and thank you for turning into the Graveyard Shift with grace.